For hundreds of years, nations have terrorized, burned, murdered, and tried to obliterate the Jewish people. Today on Israel's northern border with Lebanon, more than 80,000 Jews have fled their homes. That's why the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews is asking for your help. A donation of just $25 will help deliver one food box to one Jew in need. Please help one of God's children of Israel and donate at ifcj.org.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes. Oh,
yeah. Well, it sure is good to be back with you. Hello, everybody. Todd Starnes here. And thank you so much to our good buddy Joe Messina, who filled in yesterday out in California, and Joe did a great job, and gosh, it's I don't like taking time away from the program, but every now and again I'll have some sort of an engagement, and that will force me to step aside for just a day. So I had to travel to Nashville yesterday for an event with our friends Americans for Prosperity Tennessee. Very gracious people. Gracious crowd. They asked great questions and we had some great dialogue. And but all that to say, it's great to be back here with you and welcome to the Todd Starnes radio show. We've got a lot of ground to cover today. By the way, Liz Peek is going to drop by from Fox News. Also, our good friend just got word that Congressman Tim Burchett is going to be along in just a little while as well. So where do we want to start today? So Tommy Tuberville is really spitting bullets, and I was wondering when he was going to just jump into this conversation about the Minnesota Vikings and the male cheerleaders, and everybody's really really upset about this. And so Tuberville was doing a podcast on Outkick Sports, and he basically asked the question that a lot of people have been asking about the NFL, and here's what he said. I'd like to ask the ownership of the NFL and the commissioner, what the hell are you doing? What are you doing here? He said, you've got the number one sport on the planet in terms of people watching. Your business is growing. It's getting better and better. There's some ways you've tried to attack it over the past 10 to 15 years. But again, now you're saying, okay, we're going to make it more about gender than we are about masculinity. Then you're going to have a huge problem. It's coming. And Tuberville warned that fans may stop buying tickets to games if male cheerleaders become more prevalent. And they certainly are. And I think the coach's point here, and by the way, if you didn't know, Senator Tuberville was Coach Tuberville, and he was the head football coach of the Auburn Tigers. So he knows of what he speaks here, and I think there's a valid point. For whatever reason, things had been getting better in the NFL. I think they were turning away from the wokeness. They were turning away, they were turning the page from the Colin Kaepernick chapter, that ugly debacle, and they were sort of meandering their way back to where they were. I mean, some teams refused to do the whole pride stuff, and I think there's a big swath of the population out there. And they're saying, why can't sports just be about sports? Why does sports have to be political? And why does sports have to advance some sort of a political agenda? Now, what I'm about to say here may seem controversial, and I don't mean for it to be, but these are not your typical male cheerleaders. And I've said this before. These are men that are behaving as women would behave. Well, you sexist pig. What are you trying to say, Todd, that men can't sashay? I'm saying that, by and large, men do not sashay. That's what I'm saying. For one thing, our bodies aren't built that way. When you look at the ladies, they're able to do the whip and nay nay because their bodies are built for that. Not saying you ought to do it, and especially if you're over the age of 40, because you might throw something out. So what I'm saying is that by and large, and again, I don't mean this in a bad way, and these guys may not be able to help themselves. Maybe they were born with a condition where they weren't born with hair under their armpits or their legs. I don't know. But I will say this, again, unless you're like a swimmer or, Dylan, does anybody in the baseball community shave themselves? I mean, do they do body shaving in baseball? I don't think they do. No, I don't think so.
I think it's actually the opposite.
They want the beards.
Yeah. You know?
They want, because, and bear with, and hear me on this, and again, I don't mean those of you, those men in the Todd Stearns listening show audience, you have denuded your bodies, and so your entire body is like soft as a baby's behind. You may be tough as nails, but, you know, when somebody sees you coming, that's probably not their initial reaction. And I don't mean anything by that, and maybe that's just society's biases. But if you see, you know, a big burly dude and he's got the full beard and he's got a scowl on his face and he's not wearing makeup, you know, he's not wearing rouge, he doesn't have his hair did, then, yeah, I think you're probably, you know, that's the guy that you want fighting next to you in the bar. I'm just saying. And I don't mean this in a bad way at all. It's America. You get to live your life however you want to live your life. And, you know, if you're a grown man and you want to, you know, shave your legs and shake your pom-poms on national television on the 50-yard line, then, you know, live your American dream. But the question is, what happens if they do start losing fans over all of this? What happens if the men of America, the beer swilling, Dr. Pepper drinking men of America say, yeah, I'm good here. I don't want to see this. I don't want to see another man gyrating in front. You homophobe. Well, is it? I don't know. Oh, and here's my favorite part. Can I just as an aside, I am catching holy you-know-what from everybody this week. I don't know what is going on. But it's like I've got the conservatives mad at me. I've got the liberals are always mad. I mean, everybody is. I'm getting like lots of rage tweets and Facebook messages, and I'm trying to understand why. I will say this, and I do mean to be offensive. I just want to put that out there. I mean to be offensive. The only thing worse than a woke leftist Karen, is a woke conservative Karen. Those people drive me bonkers. Bonkers. So today, depending on who you're talking to, I'm either a rhino or a fascist. I just, it's, you know, there's really no wiggle room between them. It's just crazy. So anyway, that's that. But back to this Tuberville thing, and he's just sounding the alarm. And the coach is saying, look, this is not good for the brand. And if you want to have guys out there and they're out there to lift, or they're out there to, you know, use their booming voices to, you know, go team, go. What is the Vikings chant? I don't know. Pillage and plunder. So anyway, I mean, if that's what you want to do, okay. But I just don't know if this, the issue here is the NFL is somebody within the NFL headquarters has made the marketing decision, no, we're going to show the softer side of the NFL. And we really want to put these guys front and center. And they're not boys. I mean, they're in their mid-20s, so these are grown men. So this is where we are right now. The coach says, hey, look, if you're going to be woke and you're going to try to take the men out of men's sports, which is what you're doing, they're trying to take gender and say, okay, we're going to make up more about gender than we are about masculinity. So, and maybe that's the question. And ladies of the, and I think this is a question the ladies need to answer. When you see these guys out there, and I'm not taking away their dance abilities. I'm a Baptist. I've got no rhythm. So I who am I to judge? But it seems to me like they are pretty good dancers. But the question is, does that represent masculinity? When those men are shaving their armpits and getting rid of all their body hair, I guess they use Nair, Lady Bic, I don't know. When they do all of that and when they're prancing around and shaking and gyrating, is that the definition of masculinity for you? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So we'll see where all of this takes us. But Senator Tuberville making this a big national story now. And he says, you can see Minnesota doing this. They're one of the blue states. We've lost them. They're more about socialism and all the things that go with that. And it's about 150 genders now. Wow, it's up to that many. I had no idea. I sort of stopped with the pansexuals. I couldn't get my head wrapped around what they were doing in that casserole dish. At the end of the day, reading again from the senator's remarks, I hope to God it doesn't come south to Atlanta or to Texas or to Dallas or to some of our NFL teams because you'll lose it. People will actually quit buying tickets because this is the narrative they're trying to push, and it's not just about a couple of people. Oh, do you agree or disagree? Let's go to Lee in Memphis, listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM. Hi, Lee. What say you?
I'm just saying you got a great show going on, and I agree with you 1,000%. I mean, the masculinity, man, it's about football. Football's for men. You know, I don't understand all this stuff that's going on in our society that's so sticky now. This femininity, this feminist stuff is just about to run me crazy around here. I hate to say it like that. But I just want to call in and let you know you're doing a good job and keep up the good work, man. Because we need some men, real men out here to talk and let these young folks know that it's nothing wrong with being a man. Don't you agree?
1,000%, Lee. And day before yesterday, we played that audio from the sheriff in DeSoto County, Mississippi. Sheriff Tuggle is his name. And he was invited to give a little message, a brief speech on leadership to the young men on the football team in Olive Branch. And the fact that only 30 of the 90 dads who should have been there showed up, I think that tells me the bigger problem. But I was so impressed with Sheriff Tuggle when he said, if we're going to change America, we've got to get men in America to start raising their sons and being involved in their sons' lives. That's how we're going to change things.
And I agree with you 100%. And, you know, for us men, we need to kind of distance ourselves from anything that's feminine. You know, I mean, I was raised in a society back in the past. Like, for instance, let me give you some ideas, like the color pink. I understand about counseling and everything. I wear a ribbon. But I'm saying, man, they don't wear no color pink.
Lee, I feel triggered now, and I'm going to tell you why. Because when I was at Fox News, we had these ladies, and their job was to dress all of us men so we look good on TV. And they came to me one day with those pink ties, and I said, nope, not going to do it, not going to do it. And they said, Todd, pink is going to look great on you. And I said, not going to do it, and then they made me do it because they're women, you know, and they're going to tell you to do something. You got to do it, Lee. So I wore that tie, and I'll be doggone if I, you know, I'm not exactly, Justin Bieber out there. I can't tell you how many compliments I got from the ladies because of my pink tie.
Well, to be honest with you, I'm not a male chauvinist.
You have to catch in my man card.
I'm just saying, and no woman ain't going to be telling me to do anything that I don't want to do. I'm not here to please her. That's just my opinion now.
Make me a sandwich, woman! All right, Lee.
Go in the kitchen and get pregnant.
Lee, I'm going to hang up now, and the reason why is I'm going to have to deal with all the fallout from your call.
Man, that's just a joke. Man,
you no, I know. I know.
I mean, the radio people out there, you can't accept that. You have a problem.
Lee, the biggest problem in America, we've lost our sense of humor. That is a massive problem. Anyway,
right. No more laughter. No. Everything is so serious.
Lee, I got to run and go burn my pink tie in the break. Thank you for that. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Friends, I want to tell you about a new movie. It's called Sketch, And it's the latest from our good friends over at Angel Studios, the folks who are committed to bringing faith-based, family-friendly entertainment back to the big screen. Now, this one's a real treat. Sketches imaginative, heartwarming, and just plain fun. Picture Stranger Things meets Inside Out, only clean, uplifting, and packed with values you can actually feel good about sharing with your kids. It's the story of a little girl whose sketchbook falls into a mysterious pond. And suddenly, all her drawings come to life. It's got excitement, a little suspense, and a whole lot of laughs. If you're already a premium Angel Guild member, your two free tickets to Sketch are ready and waiting. If you're not, well, now's the time. Sign up today and see Sketch in theaters starting August 6th. Plus, you'll get access to Angel Studios' entire streaming library, content that reflects your values, honors your faith, and uplifts your family. If you're tired of the junk Hollywood keeps churning out and you're ready to support movies that are wholesome, meaningful, and made with heart, head over to angel.com/starns and become a premium Angel Guild member today.
I would like to ask the ownership of the NFL and the commissioner, what the hell are you doing? If you're going to be woke, and you're going to try to take the men out of men's sports is what they're doing. They're trying to take gender and say, okay, we're going to make it more about gender than we are about masculinity. Then you're going to have a huge problem. It's coming. And again, you can see Minnesota doing it. You know, they're one of the blue states that we've lost them. You know, they're more about socialism and all the things that go on with that. And it's about, you know, 150 genders. But at the end of the day, I hope to God it doesn't come south.
Yeah, I hope to God it doesn't. Yeah, we don't need that. We don't need that below the Mason-Dixon line. So keep all of that stuff north of the border, if you know what I mean. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. An honor to have you with us today. By the way, this is somewhat huge news. I'm loving what ICE is doing out there. I'm watching video now. This is from New York City Federal Plaza, where they've arrested an illegal alien. ICE, they had this huge crowd of people there protecting and surrounding the illegal. And the ICE agents, it was like they were human bulldozers and just knocked people away like they were the bowling ball pins. And they were the bowling ball. ICE ain't playing around, ladies and gentlemen. This is hardcore. Now, the latest news is that a number of states, including West Virginia and Tennessee, I believe South Carolina as well, they are sending National Guard troops to Washington to help control crime and to crack down on crime. And the latest numbers I saw, the crime rate in D.C. has just plummeted as a result of all the law enforcement out there. And the social media is filled with all of these people talking about how safe the city feels right now. All right, here we go. This is from the D.C. Police Union. Just understand, this is amazing. Robberies over the past 7 days. All right, so they've compared 7 days. Over the past 7 days, robberies down 46%, carjackings down 83%, car theft down 21%, violent crime down 22%, property crime down 6%, all crimes down 8%. And I would be willing to say they didn't have this percentage, but I would say the number of criminals arrested, 100%. So this is really spectacular. Now, the issue, though, is you've got Washington, D.C. and the police chief out there saying, well, crime was at a 30-year low in Washington. Well, it turned out that was a lie, which is why their stats commissioner or commander of data and statistics is under investigation right now. But a lot of people in Tennessee especially are upset at the Republican governor, a guy by the name of Bill Lee, because they've been begging for Governor Lee to send the National Guard troops to Memphis because our crime is far, far worse than Washington's. And people are saying, what about us, Governor? Why are you sending all of the National Guard troops here in Tennessee to Washington when you ought to be sending them over to Memphis? And this is something that a lot of Republican lawmakers have been very concerned about. As a matter of fact, going all the way back to 2023, when State Senator Brent Taylor, this guy's been a guest on the program, and he wrote a letter saying, hey, look, we get it. We understand that there are limitations of what the National Guard can do, but their very presence will help to ease up the crime here. And it'll make the gangbangers and the street thugs, pardon me, the young scholars, it will make them think twice about carjacking somebody. But you know what, though? What Governor Bill Lee is doing right now, that's a big middle finger to the state of, or to rather to the city of Memphis. A big middle finger. 901-260-5926. Hey, ToddStarnes.com. Go check out our great stories. You're going to love it over there. We'll be right back, everybody. A major retail chain just canceled a massive order, leaving MyPillow with an overstock of classic MyPillows. Now it's your gain. For a limited time, MyPillow offering their entire classic collection at true wholesale prices. Get a standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Want more? Upgrade to a queen size for only $24.98 or king size for $29.98. Snag body pillows for $39.98 and versatile multi-use pillows for just $12.98. Visit MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 to score these amazing deals. Plus, when your order totals $75 or more, you'll receive $100 in free digital gifts, no strings attached. That's right, premium pillows at unbeatable prices and bonus gifts to top it off. Don't wait. Head to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 now. And don't forget to use promo code STARNS to grab your standard MyPillow for only $19.98 while supplies last. All right. Hello, peoples. By the way, I have a question about Israel. And I know that there are folks that are really upset right now over at MTG, as well as now Megyn Kelly. So Megyn Kelly interviewed MTG, and it did not go well. Green has been making waves in recent days. She's accused Israel of committing genocide in Gaza. She is advocating against further aid to Israel. Kelly is now expressing mistrust of AIPAC, which is the giant, mega pro-Israel lobbying organization. Kelly says, I've been very pro-Israel. I've been very defensive of their right to defend themselves, but I have absolutely no skin whatsoever in defending any lobbyist group, including AIPAC. So I would love to know what they do to get the loyalty of politicians, because I will say I have had multiple reach outs to me, both from friends and connected people in D.C. begging me to go to Israel with them, and I have said no every time. Why would you say no to that? But lately, it seems like it's coming to be even more, because I feel like there's a contingent of people who are worried that they're losing me. And I've said, you're not losing me. I'm not on Hamas's side. But it's been a while now that, like, this has been going on, and we're getting more involved with the Iranian bombing. So my feelings are, I'm looking at Israel in a different way right now than I was on October the 8th. That's for sure. And I can feel the pressure being slightly ratcheted up, like you're not allowed to basically be against Israel. So that's coming from Megyn Kelly. And now Republicans are firing back. Of course, Tucker Carlson's on that side of the equation now, along with a lot of other America First people. So I'm just curious, ladies and gentlemen, do we need to have complete allegiance to the nation of Israel? I got no problem with what Israel's doing right now. Well, aside from this one issue, why is it taking them so long to fight this war? And the reason, and I suspect the reason why, is because the United States has been pressuring Israel to go slow with this. What they should have done, there should have been total shock and awe and complete obliteration on October the 9th. And I think a lot of this could have been resolved. So I'm not sure how long they're going to be fighting the war. I mean, when you look, what were we fighting? We were fighting, Afghanistan and Iraq for well over a decade. So I'm not sure we have any room as a nation to tell Israel, hey, let's wrap this up. Let's get this done. And maybe that's, and again, it they may have legitimate concerns, but a lot of this just seems to be rooted in anti-Semitism. And it is, that is a growing thing within the Republican Party right now. And others are going to push back. Why, you can't say that. Just because you oppose Israel doesn't mean you're an anti-Semite. You're a Jew hater. Yeah, but it sure seems like it. I mean, some of the arguments coming from, you know, within the America First movement, it sounds a lot like Jew hating. I just don't get that. But I believe as a Christian that we are called to support the nation of Israel. That's what I believe. And I look, I've got no problem with our current policies, but we need to stay out of Israel's business. Do I think that we, and there are a lot of Christians who believe even my policies of, and my philosophy is, let Israel be Israel. But there are many evangelicals in America that believe the policy, the America First policy, really ought to be an Israel First policy, and then America comes second. I disagree with that. I've always, look, I believe my country, right or wrong, and I believe that the interest of America are more important than anyone else's. And I'm sure the Israelis believe the same thing, which is why they have their own nation. So there you go. That story is making headlines. Also, in the business world, there is a lot of controversy over in California right now over the policies of Gavin Newsom and these Democrats. And it's becoming impossible for a lot of these companies to stay in business in California. For example, In-N-Out, they're not leaving. They're not completely leaving, but they're moving a lot of their operations and have moved a lot of their operations to Tennessee. And a lot of it is because of the draconian policies that are meant to punish business owners, that are meant to punish success in California. And that brings me to Bed Bath & Beyond. And I had no idea that Marcus Lemonis, you know, our guy from Camping World, I had no idea that he was also running Bed Bath & Beyond. And they've been through the ringer. They spent, some time in bankruptcy. And so now they're trying to stage a comeback, which is fantastic. And I wish them nothing but the best. But anyway, Marcus Lemonis just announced that they will not be opening or operating any retail stores in California. And he wrote a statement about this, and he says it has nothing. And this is a problem with Lemonis, and I've had him on the show a time or two. And this guy, he's an immigrant from Lebanon, came here legally. He loves America, which is why they fly the giant flags outside the Camping World outpost. But the guy will not come out and actually support Donald Trump. He won't come out and support conservative policies. So for him to say that his decision to boycott the Golden State has nothing to do with politics, sir, it has everything to do with politics. And you do yourself and other business owners a disservice when you don't come out and say exactly why you are leaving. People need to know that. The employees at Bed Bath & Beyond, I would have got them all together, and I'm assuming they have stores there, and they're shutting them down. But let's just say, for the sake of the argument here, let's just say you've got, I don't know, 100 Bed Bath & Beyond stores in California. You get all the, get everybody together. You have a big company-wide meeting in California. And Marcus Lemonis should get up there and said, all right, how many of you people out there, just curious, but how many of you people voted for a Democrat? And I guarantee you about 90% of the employees would raise their hands. And they say, yeah, we're Democrats. We love the Democrats. Well, Marcus Lemonis at that point should say, well, look, here's the deal. Because of the policies of the Democrats, you're about to lose your job. Your voting Democrat has made it impossible for us to continue our business here in California. And that's what he ought to be doing. So maybe it'll start registering in the thick skulls of these libtards that when they go and they vote Democrat just because their grandpa voted for Democrats, that's going to hurt them. So anyway, Lemonis goes through it. He reads a statement and says, look, California has created one of the most overregulated, expensive, and risky environments for business in the country. He says they make it incredibly hard to employ people and keep the doors open. And then he goes down the list, higher taxes, higher fees, higher wages. And he says, we cannot sustain this. And then he said, not to mention the endless regulations. Lamona says they're going to have stores in almost every other state in the country, except California. So all you people out there in L.A., if you want to go buy a duvet cover, you're going to have to book a flight to Nashville because you're not going to be able to get it in California. Wow. Good for you, Marcus Lemonis. And that's what we're going to have to start seeing happen. And maybe just maybe, but again, Marcus Lemonis did a great disservice by saying we're doing this because of the politics. To say that politics doesn't matter here, that is so wrongheaded. Let's go to the phones. Sean in North Carolina, listening to us today. Sean, where are you calling from?
Hey, Todd, I'm calling from Mooresville, North Carolina.
All right. What's going on, Sean?
Hey, I'm just driving home from work, get a little lunch here, and I was listening to your show and just wanted to chime in on the Marjorie Taylor and the Megyn Kelly interview yesterday talking about Israel. I thought it was really enlightening, actually. I mean, I didn't get the impression they were against Israel, against Jewish people or not, but Marjorie Taylor, I really like her after that interview, even more than I did already, but she is all about this crushing debt that our country it has and the concern for the future and our children. And one of the things that she quoted, she said that our government sends Israel $1.3 billion, I don't remember the exact number, a year for their defense. And yeah, they're an ally of ours. We need to be on their team. We need to help them when necessary. But she compared our debt to theirs, and theirs is like in the billions. Ours is in the trillions. And she's like, we have got to stop sending money everywhere. She said they're doing fine defending themselves, battling Hamas. Let them deal with that. Like I say, if things blow wide open and it becomes a very stark situation where they're in danger of losing their country, yeah, they're an ally. Let's jump in. Let's help them. But she's just about more fiscal responsibility. And AIPAC and all these special interest groups, we've really got to rein that in and do something about this because it's just insane. That's what Megyn and Marjorie were talking about. They take these influencers and these first-year congressmen and women over to Israel and give them the sweet song and dance and whatnot. And it's all about, getting people to vote for their policies. Well, here's some money. Let's pad your pocket. You know, we got to quit playing this special interest game, and we've got to do what's right, or this country's going right down the toilet. And I worry about for my kids and everybody's kids, we've got to rein this debt in. And like I say, I don't think Marjorie Taylor and Megyn are against Israel at all. They're like, yeah, defend yourself. What Hamas did was horrible. Mm-hmm. There's a conflict, and I've noticed this, and they both mentioned this. I don't know what's true coming out of Israel as far as what's going on in Gaza as far as the humanitarian aid.
Sean, I'm going to answer that for you. We do know. I mean, we know that Gaza has employed and Hamas has employed a lot of crisis actors. A lot of the video we see, you just can't believe the video that you see coming out of Gaza. You just can't. And the fact of the matter is the humanitarian aid has been coming in and Hamas has been hijacking it. That's not Israel's fault. But I have a question for you, Sean. And let's just, for the sake of the argument, let's say you're right that we should not have. And I'll take it a step further, all right? We shouldn't have any special interest groups that are trying to influence lawmakers when it comes to Israel, all right? But what about the special interest groups that are influencing, say, Ireland or Italy or the UK? Because they have lobbying groups there in Washington as well. So why is it that we're only concerned about Israel and not the Gentile nations?
I think that's the hot button right now because it's conflict and what's been going on. It's just, but yeah, this lobbying, these special interest groups are a nightmare. And I'm saying that my daughter actually works for a lobbying firm as a, she's administrative assistant, and it's a great job for her. But, man, it's really giving me insight into this. The money that greases the wheels, we have got to eliminate. I don't think you ever eliminate it, but you've got to find a way to regulate that a little bit better, because that is a big problem. And they spoke to that as well. Palestine, Hamas, they've been great at the propaganda and putting out the videos and all that. But it does muddy the water for people that just, you know, get their news off the social media.
Well, you just can't trust a lot of the media anymore. And with the advent of, you know, AI, even social media now, it's just a mess. Sean, I got to run. Thank you for that. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, I was really enjoying the website, amac.us. They have such great, great information over there. AMAC is the Association of Mature American Citizens, and they are the conservative alternative to AARP. And they have some incredible benefits for conservatives. You're going to get massive discounts on travel, insurance, prescription drugs, and exclusive member resources, not to mention the AMAC magazine. But let me tell you something. The prescription drug discounts, pretty awesome. And I want you to go check them out. Get this. We're talking about $120 a month with a five-year membership. $120 a month with a five-year membership. Go to amac.us/starns right now. Go check them out. A very special landing page just for our audience, amac.us/starns, and join the fight to keep America strong. All right, welcome back. Let's go to the phones. Jerry in the beautiful state of Iowa. Hi, Jerry. What's on your mind today?
Howdy. I'm fixing to go to Israel with my son coming right up. But I wanted to comment that if you want to kind of wreck your political career as far as GOP conservatives, just start talking like, well, I like Vivek Ramaswamy, but when he came through Iowa caucus time, he made a few comments about Israel being, you know, they're a nice country and we got history, but, you know, they're a little bit of a ball and chain. I'm not saying I don't like them, blah, blah, blah. Well, that was the end for him. So in Iowa, we're like GOP conservatives are a bit of a bellwether. We don't always choose the president, who the president's going to be, did last time, but we will make darn good sure that you're going to be wrecked. If you're coming through Iowa and you want to be a conservative and you don't like Israel, because you're just not going to make it. Israel is our best friend in the world. They're better than Canada, better than England. This is the cradle of Western civilization. Jesus Christ came out of Israel, and there is no Christianity. There is no Reformation. There's no American Republic and Constitution. We're the oldest in the world, by the way. So if you want to wreck your political career, just start, you know, hem-hawing about how we're not going to give them money. And by the way, they need defense money now, because we don't want to just wait until things get bad for them. So, they're our best friends in the world. And if you want to do politics and American conservatism, Israel is part of the package.
Well, it's going to be the debate's only going to get louder, and I have no doubt that this is going to become a big issue as we move down the road, especially in the post-Trump Republican Party, whatever that looks like. You know, somebody brought that up last night at the AFP event in Nashville, is that, you know, what does the Republican Party look like moving down the road? Is it really conservative, or is it more populist? And that's an issue. Right now, though, I think we've just got to focus on making sure that our ally gets what they need. That's what we do. We have agreements in place, and we ought to honor those agreements. And if you don't think we need to have those agreements, well, you can debate those, and that can be decided. But right now, we've got to honor our word. That's what we have to do as a country. Hey, Jerry, thank you for that call. And folks, again, we've got to take a quick break here. And I do want to remind you to head over to our website. We have some really wonderful stories for you to read there, all original content. And, of course, you can also download our podcast as well as our newsletter. And we do that free. Look, there are so many people out there asking you for money, and I don't ever want to do that. We've never charged for our content, and we're not going to. So just head over to ToddStearns.com. That's all we ask. Read our stories, share our stories, sign up for the podcast and the newsletter. All right, we'll be right back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
So the Vice President, J.D. Vance, Stephen Miller, a bunch of them are over at Union Station in Washington, D.C. today. And they're out there shaking hands with a lot of the National Guard troops that are pouring into our nation's capital. I want to go back to something I said in the last hour, so I want to make sure you do not misunderstand. And by you, I mean the pimply-faced, greasy-skinned dudes that are living in their parents' basements, and they're hired goons to monitor this program. And pretty much every day, they're taking something I say out of context. So I want to make sure we understand this. I do not object to the idea that states should send National Guard troops to Washington, D.C. I believe that we do have an obligation to root out the criminal thugs, pardon me, young scholars that are causing mayhem in D.C. The issue I have is with the Tennessee governor, who has turned a blind eye to the war-torn city of Memphis. I mean, it's insane what's happening in West Tennessee. And the mayor, the governor says, you know, we're not going to send National Guard troops to Memphis, but we'll send them to D.C. That's the problem I have. So anyway, the vice president, Stephen Miller, out there. And, you know, it's interesting that they both brought up a fascinating truth about what's going on here. Because we read from the stats in the last hour of the show, and crime has just plummeted. And the reason why people feel safe. So many black citizens, and it's a largely black city, Washington, D.C., so a lot of black citizens are coming out. They're like, thank God for President Trump. You've got people in Chicago, Southside. Can you please come here? Because we've got the thugs out there, pardon me, young scholars in our communities, and they're shooting people and carjacking people. Please help us, Mr. President. But isn't it strange? When you look at the people protesting and the people that are raging in the streets, all of them are woke, white libtards. Have you noticed that? Isn't that strange? There are no black people protesting. It's all white libtards. And they're enraged for what reason? Because crime is down in black neighborhoods. It's actually safe for moms and dads to let their kids play outside. And, you know, one guy I think he looked to be about my age. And he said, you know, back in the 70s and 80s in our neighborhood, the kids used to go out and, you know, you would have moms on the stoops and they'd be watching their kids playing in the streets. They'd play stickball. They'd open up the fire hydrants and they would cool down in the summertime heat. But you can't do that now because of the out of control crime. But now you can. And just think about this for a moment. The white Democrats would prefer that black people live in fear. I think that's their whole thing, is they want the black people to live in fear, to have this anxiety. And it really does harken back to the days when the Democrats wore bedsheets and pointy hats and they burned crosses in the front yards of black citizens. Have you noticed this political party has never apologized for any of that? They have never apologized for trying to stop slavery. They've never apologized for trying to shut down the civil rights movement. They've never apologized for not they haven't. They've never apologized. And they never will. Because really, for them, it's not so much about skin color as it is about power, which is why they want people living in constant fear. So here's Stephen Miller just a few moments ago talking to reporters.
There are hundreds of residents of this city who are shot in street violence every single year, making it one of the most violent cities on planet Earth. And for too long, 99% of this city has been terrorized by 1% of this city. And the voices that you hear out there, those crazy communists, they have no roots, they have no connections to the city, they have no families they are raising in this city, they have no one that they are sending to school in this city, they have no jobs in this city, they have no connections to this community at all. But they're the ones who've been advocating for the 1%, the criminals, the killers, the rapists, the drug dealers. And I'm glad they're here today. Because me, Pete, and the vice president are all going to leave here, and inspired by them, we're going to add thousands more resources to this city to get the criminals and the gang members out of here. We're going to dismantle those networks, and we're going to prove that a city can serve for the law-abiding citizens who live there. We are not going to let the communists destroy a great American city, let alone the nation's capital. And let's just also address one other thing. All these demonstrators that you've seen out here in recent days, all of these elderly white hippies, they're not part of the city and never have been. And by the way, most of the citizens who live in Washington, D.C. are black. This is not a city that has had any safety for its black citizens for generations. And President Trump is the one who is fixing that with the support of the Metropolitan Police Department, the support of the National Guard, and our federal law enforcement officers. Right. So we're going to ignore these stupid white hippies that all need to go home and take a nap because they're all over 90 years old, and we're going to get back to the business of protecting the American people and the citizens of Washington, D.C.
Wow. I just love this. So there you go. The Stephen Miller, and it's true. When you look at all of these protesters, they're like wrinkled prunes. And you know they had to have done some hardcore drugs back in the day. They're just not all there. And part of me, we've got them here in Memphis, and it's really strange where they protest. And in one of the wealthy neighborhoods, there's an overpass over the interstate. And they gather there on this the sidewalks. And Dylan, you know, I'm a Christian man, and I do feel compassion towards people. And, you know, it's been like 100, it's going to be about 102 degrees today. And you got those old wrinkled prunes, those old biddies out there. Subaru's parked as far as the eye can see. And I felt bad. You know what I did, Dylan? I went down to the Walgreens and I got some like little boxes, bottles of the Geritol and the metal. I wanted to do some Metamucil shots just to make sure they stayed hydrated.
You're a very caring man.
I should have
got a game of bingo to toss them over there too.
Insure.
Some cards.
Yeah. The insure is good, you know.
Insure, yeah.
You got to keep it chilled. You don't want it to go bad. You don't want it to go bad. So I try to do my part. So anyway, the Vice President, J.D. Vance, here's what he had to say.
This beautiful, great American city, don't they deserve... we talk about human rights. We hear these people outside screaming, free D.C. Let's free D.C. from lawlessness. Let's free Washington, D.C. from one of the highest murder rates in the entire world. Let's free Washington, D.C. so that young families can walk around and feel safe and secure. That's what we're trying to free D.C. from. And as Stephen said, it's kind of bizarre that we have a bunch of old, primarily white people who are out there protesting the policies that keep people safe when they've never felt danger in their entire lives.
Well, he's not wrong. So I'm just curious, as we go to break here, ladies and gentlemen, should the National Guard be used in other cities outside of Washington, D.C.? Is that the right play here? Because it's just as bad in places like Chicago and Detroit, Los Angeles, San Francisco. Bob, who is a listener on KWAM in Memphis, says this: for those of you who say we need to bring in the National Guard, precisely what do you expect them to do, and what limitations will you place upon them? What rules of engagement? Will they be able to execute search warrants and arrest people without probable cause, martial law? And if they did arrest 1,000 juveniles, where would you put them? There is no facility to house juvenile criminal suspects or offenders in those numbers anywhere in the state. how long would you have the National Guard here? What powers would they have beyond state law when it comes to encountering a law-abiding citizen who is armed? There's just no clarity of thought behind the idea other than a desperate cry for help. Now, Bob lives right outside. He lives out outside of Memphis. What will the city and its government look like when they leave? Will C.J. Davis still be the police chief? You know, that's the issue in D.C., for example, where the police chief was replaced by Pam Bondi. Will we still have an undermanned police force? Will the underlying causes of criminal behavior in Memphis be resolved by the National Guard? There's more hype than wisdom behind this notion. Is that true, ladies and gentlemen? Do you believe that we ought to just sit by and do nothing as our cities burn? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Got to take a break. Today is National Radio Day. Happy National Radio Day, everybody. Wow, that's so. Do we get a card? I don't know if we even. Did we get a cake? No, no cake. Well, again, happy National Radio Day. This is a day that we're going to celebrate the radio. And I'm just curious. This is, we don't do this very often, but we want to be able to let you give a shout out to your local radio station. So if you are listening to us right now on wherever it might be, Patriot Talk 920 or KYKN in Oregon or WGUN, we want you to give us a call and we're going to let you give a shout out to your local radio station. Because these are some of the hardest working folks in broadcasting, and radio is a tough gig, no doubt about it. And these folks are working insane hours, and they do it because they love radio and they love their communities. And one of the nice things about our national radio show, we're in a lot of big cities, we're in a lot of small towns, and we love everybody. And we especially love our radio stations that are owned by local families or local businessmen, local leaders, because those are the folks that are truly committed to what's happening in your community. So if you want to give a shout out, and I want, no, not if you, call right now and give your local radio station a great big shout out, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926, and we'll take your calls. I want to go to the phone lines here. Richard in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Hi, Richard. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. Good afternoon. And just a quick suggestion for today. Maybe y'all could use the old RKO Orpheum logo of the radio broadcasting tower they used to show in the run-ups to the news and movie theaters.
Wow. That's seriously old school, Richard. I know our good buddy Wyatt Cox. He's all over old school radio, like back in the 30s and 40s. And I know that Wyatt remembers that.
Hell, I'm 81. What do you want?
Back in the day.
Yeah, but I called to ask if you wanted to find out what it was like when I was in the Guard in the 60s. And you remember Kent State University just like I do. And we were told that we could be activated for riot duty. And you know, we had to show up for training, et cetera, et cetera. And the most ridiculous statement I ever heard came from the person who was conducting our training, because they told us that in the event we were called out for riot control duty, we had to make sure that we were wearing a set of clean, starched, and pressed fatigues, because research shows that nothing instills fear in the hearts of rioters like the sight of troops with a sharp crease in their trousers.
Is that right?
That is factual, yes.
You know, Richard, it's interesting when you hear the stories about Kent State, which happened, what, in 1970, the narrative in the media is that the National Guard troops opened fire on peaceful protesters. That was anything but peaceful. And it's really a fascinating read when you go back and actually study the events leading up to the gunfire, where you had thousands, I think 3,000 or 4,000 students that were rioting in the city. They had to declare a state of emergency. These protesters were hurling bottles and rocks at National Guard troops. They burned down an ROTC building on campus. I mean, this was a violent, violent protest. And that's when the National Guard, you know, opened fire.
Yeah, but hey, their lives were being directly threatened by these people.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And when you've got National Guard troops and they're ordering you to disperse, to get out of there, and you refuse to obey orders, what are the National Guard troops supposed to do? I mean, they got what they wanted, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I hate to see that these troops are being activated for homeland duty. And I agree with your earlier point. Memphis needs to have Tennessee National Guard sent there.
It seems, you know, again, it seems like a very reasonable thing. It's the least that they could do. And I think that we need to see a show of force here. We're almost 1,000 officers down from our full complement of police here. I don't know what it's like in other cities, but that's another big issue, is that we just don't have enough law enforcement on the ground here to deal with the crisis. And it's a shame, because Memphis strategically is a vital interest to the nation. We are the nation's transportation hub, whether it be all the rail lines that intersect here. You've got the Mississippi River, one of the largest freshwater ports in the world. You've got FedEx. So there's a lot happening here, and we have a vested interest in making sure this area of the country is safe. Richard, a good hearing from you, and thanks for calling in. And, wow, Kent State, a terrible thing, and you never want it to get to that point, but again, that's why I was surprised when they were talking about actually providing live rounds to the National Guard troops in Washington. I'm like, wait a second. We sent them off to Washington without that? Are you kidding me? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I've got to tell you, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern and 6 o'clock Eastern, I'm doing 2 hours of Newsmax tonight. So you're going to want to check out our great show. And, of course, you're also going to want to check out Newsmax on the New York Stock Exchange. Millions of people just like you joining our news revolution. Newsmax is now the fourth highest rated news channel in America, just behind CNN. And we're one of the top news brands in the country. 40 million Americans now go to Newsmax for their news. Want to encourage you to download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone. You can start watching today. President Trump says Newsmax, absolutely terrific. You're going to be able to get that free Newsmax app, and also check out shares on the New York Stock Exchange. For that information, go to NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. Well, coming up, we're looking forward to taking your calls as you give your local radio station a great big shout-out. Go ahead, lines now open, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Congressman Tim Burchett, also Liz Peek from Fox News. She's going to drop by as well. Hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Be sure to check out toddstearns.com. Lots of great content for you there, and also some free resources. We don't charge you a single penny for our news copy, for our podcast, or our newsletter. That's our gift to you. Thank you for supporting our great efforts here. We'll be right back. Happy National Radio Day, everybody, and we're going to get to your calls just momentarily, but we want you to give your local radio station a shout-out, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Tom in Houston, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. And, Tom, I know you want to talk about George Soros. What's going on?
Yes, my point is all this craziness going on around the country. And I see it with a microscope here in Houston, but I'm sure it's the same thing in Memphis, in Duluth, in Kansas City, in flyover country. You know, hell, I'm so tired. Every time something happens in New York or Los Angeles, I got to hear about it for 6 days, you know. But my point is that
true.
We got Georgie Porgy Puddin' Pie Soros. He's the one that's financing all these district attorneys, and they're crazy. They don't prosecute a bunch of stuff, and then they're turning the justice system political. Crap is what they're doing.
Tom, let me ask you. You mentioned Houston. What exactly are you guys dealing with? Because I'm with you. I swear, it's like, you know, and everybody wants to talk about New York or Los Angeles, and everybody forgets about the rest of the country. What are you guys dealing with there in Houston?
Okay, I wasn't going to go deep into the subject because it really don't mean much to people from out here. But we have a county judge. Her name is Lena Hidalgo. Look her up on the web. And this girl is Dora the Explorer doppelganger. Okay? She's like 37 years old. She came into office because our former county judge retired. And the Republicans, like dumbasses, didn't put up a good candidate. Well, this little young lady, during COVID, granted a contract to one of her friends who was a single employee company to canvass door-to-door concerning the COVID outbreak. She wanted to grant her a $21 million contract to do this survey.
So you've got corruption there, unprecedented, off the charts.
Let me complete.
Real quick here. Yeah, we don't have 30 minutes, so let's get to it.
The University of Houston at Texas, which deals in medical affairs, bid the exact same contract for $7 million. And she awarded the contract to her little girlfriend, our buddy, I don't know what she is, for the single employee company. This has brought on a bunch of controversy, and there's three of Lena Hidalgo's lieutenants who are under federal indictment right now. Now, in the last couple weeks, this woman has canceled a bunch of stuff. Okay, so Lena Hidalgo is...
Okay, so let me stop you, Tom. Let me stop you right there for a second, because, again, the issue here is corruption. And you brought up George Soros, and the fact of the matter is Hidalgo's campaign was funded by George Soros money and a George Soros-funded PAC. So when you look, you know, you're talking about the crime and the corruption, not just in Houston, but in other cities. By some estimates, and there's really no clearinghouse for this, but they believe at least 75 George Soros district attorneys were elected, and all of them were under the guise of these social justice DAs. And we saw this take place in New York City, where they implemented something called cashless bail. So there was one incident where a guy was literally beaten up with a baseball bat. They arrested the guy. He was brought into the court, and they let this guy walk right out without having to pay a single penny in bail money. And the reason why is because of these George Soros policies. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of evidence that this is leading to big problems and lawlessness on the streets across America. Tom, thanks for the call. All right, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Ocala, Florida. So, Jameson, you want to give your local radio station a shout-out. Hello, Jameson. All right, we'll try to figure out what's going on there, but Jameson listening to us on WOCA, so I'll give them a shout-out, but we want Jameson to do that. Let's go to John in Statesville, North Carolina. John, I hear you want to give your station a shout out.
Yeah, Todd, it's a 75-year-old station here, WSIC. I actually met you here.
You know, that was a fun day, John, and it was so nice to meet so many of our great listeners who took time, you know, during their lunch break to come over and say hello.
Hey, and the Wilson Weenies weren't too bad either.
Man, I got to tell you, that was a mighty fine hot dog joint, and it correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe owned by military veterans. Is that right?
Absolutely. Eric's a veteran, and from that day, we actually became pretty good friends.
You see, this is what I love about our gatherings. You never know who you're going to meet, and a lot of people meet new friends, and I love that. And, John, you guys are blessed there in Statesville with a great locally owned radio station.
Yep, every day.
And most importantly, John, they carry this program, so we're especially happy for that. John, God bless you. Thank you for calling in, my friend. All right, let's go to Jameson. All right, Jameson, we got you back.
All right. How are you doing?
Jameson, I'm doing well, so I hear you want to give your local radio station a shout-out.
Happy Radio Day to you, too.
Well, thank you very much.
WOCA, I'm listening to you on today and yesterday and the day before and next day and so on and so on.
So you're a loyal WOCA listener is what you're telling us.
Yes.
You know what we got to figure out, Jameson? We got to figure out how do we honor and reward our like longtime listeners, right? Because if you go to Kroger and you type in your little code, you get like a little discount. Maybe we should be doing something like that in the radio world.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Give me a T-shirt. How about that?
Oh, a T-shirt would be good. A T-shirt would be good. Jameson, man, thank you for calling in. And you do have a great radio station in there, WOCA. Let's go to John in Diamond, Oklahoma. Now, John, you got to help me out. Where is Diamond, Oklahoma?
In the heart of the Oklahoma Panhandle.
A fine... Go ahead.
Sandwiched in between Kansas and Texas.
Well, you've got a great radio station I know you want to give a shout-out to. What's the radio station out in your neck of the woods?
A-G-Y-N, the Big Talker.
And it's not just a name, is it, John? Because you can hear that radio station over, I think, five states.
Yes.
Well,
it's a great station, carries great programs such as yours.
You know, John, I love radio. I grew up listening to it. My grandfather gave me my very first transistor radio, and everywhere I go, I especially love listening to AM. I know a lot of folks do the FM now, which is great. But, John, I don't know about you, but there's something about that AM crackle that I just, it gets in your blood.
Yes, I've listened to AM radio, the Big Talker, KGYN.
All right, John, you just gave a shout-out to the Big Talker, KGYN, and thank you for calling in. We're going to be taking your calls on this National Radio Day, so if you want to give your local radio station a shout-out, just give us a holler, like John did here, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Hang tight, folks. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. You know, you talk about radio, and everybody, every now and again, you'll get the headlines, radio's dead, people aren't listening to radio anymore. You know, that is so not true. As a matter of fact, there was a survey done a survey was done showing that more young people, especially in Gen Z, are going back to radio. So what is old is new again, and people are getting a little tired of all the podcasts. And I think one of the reasons why, and I'm just going to, and I have nothing against podcasts at all. I mean, we do a podcast, and I have nothing against podcasts. But radio is the only medium where there's a back and forth, you know, that it's you and I having a conversation together. And I know that you and I is multiplied by millions of people around the country. But it's a very personal, very intimate way of communication and communicating. And it's also the only way that you can actually, it's the only medium where you can call up and actually talk to the host on the air. If you agree, you disagree, as long as you get through our call screeners, yeah, you're going to be able to talk to me on the air. That doesn't happen in a podcast. So I'm curious, you know, many of you are longtime radio listeners, and I especially love it when younger people call in because that is the future. of the country in a very literal way. And the reality is that we need young people and we need younger listeners. But I remember growing up as a kid, we were my dad got transferred to New Orleans. And, of course, down there, WWL was the predominant news talk station at the time. And I remember listening to WWL and, gosh, late at night you could hear WSB out of Atlanta. Or on a good night you could hear WLW out of Cincinnati, where our good friend Bill Cunningham currently rules the roost. And if you really remember, any of you old school folks, you remember Larry King. Long before he went to CNN and did his talk show there, Larry King was a talk radio host out of Miami, Florida. Was it WIOD? I believe that was the station. And, of course, how many of you guys actually remember Art Bell? That show used to scare the freaking daylights out of me. And especially if I was driving around at nighttime. And, you know, you're listening to Art and his callers and the whole paranormal angles. You were just waiting for a spaceship to beam you up somewhere in the middle of nowhere. But that's why I love radio. And, you know, when I had the opportunity to buy KWAM AM 990 in Memphis, I'm like, man, I'm like a kid in a candy store here, a very expensive candy store that has stuff that breaks down on a frequent basis, but I love it. And you know why? Because radio matters. It does. And when people need to know what's going on, they know they can tune into their local radio station wherever they are. And especially if you guys are locally owned. And I want to brag on a radio station, and we've got so many great ones out there. But there's a radio station in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and it is a family-owned radio station, KWON, K1, and they do local radio so well, much like our good friends at WDUN, which is really a phenomenal news operation. And it's the reason why they're committed to doing local news. You know, talk radio is a very expensive proposition because you have to have bodies. You can't just, you know, play music, and you've got to have bodies that are doing the news and posting things on social media and getting out there in the community. And those stations are doing it right, which is one of the reasons we love saluting you guys. So, you know, thank you thank you to all of our great radio affiliates out there. And we wouldn't be able to do what we do without you. But I just have great respect, especially for the radio station owners. I'll give you an example. Patriot Talk 920, Matt Velasquez is the owner of the station down there. That station has been in his family for years. And he, you know, after much prayer and consideration, they flipped the format from Spanish Talk to Patriot Talk 920 and then put us on the air. I mean, geez, hello. So we're very grateful for that. And it's been exciting to meet all of their new listeners. And it's so exciting to meet all of our friends across this great nation. All right, our telephone number again, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. If you'd like to talk about radio or if you want to give your local radio station a shout-out. CNN, very upset at our friend Ryan Walters. Now, Ryan is the school superintendent for the entire state of Oklahoma. And he's been cracking down on wokeness in the classroom. And one of the ways they're doing that is if a teacher moves to Oklahoma and they've come from some woke state, like, say, California, he's making the teachers go through a test to make sure they're not infecting the classroom with their liberal ideology. Well, CNN is very, very upset about that. Take a listen.
But let me read some of the questions we did get. One question deals with gender, asking teachers to select from a series of multiple choice answers which chromosome pairs determine biological sex. Another question asks why freedom of religion is important to America's identity. Other questions include asking for the first three words of the Constitution, naming the two chambers of the U.S. Congress, and identifying the number of U.S. senators. I mean, these are all great questions for a teacher to be able to... Shouldn't a teacher have to be able to answer? It could be that there's like, how much do you hate Donald Trump is like in there?
Shouldn't
okay,
they also be great, able to, but, I mean, shouldn't they also be able, no? I mean, wouldn't it be more important to know whether they know and understand the subjects that they're expected to be teaching? Isn't that more to the point?
Well, they don't do it now, do they? That's why you've got so many of these kids coming out of high school. They can't read. I know in some school districts, the numbers are as high as 70% of kids who can't read at grade level. They certainly can't do math or science. They don't even know their pronouns anymore. You go to school, and there was a time when you went to school, at least you knew which bathroom to use, and now the kids don't even know that. To make matters worse, where was I at? Oh, yes. I have to share this story. Dylan, very rarely have I felt like my life was ever in danger. I had to make a couple of pit stops to get coffee on the way back from Nashville, and I was driving back to Memphis, which is about a 3.5-hour drive, but I had to drive there, which was 3.5 hours. Dieter was in town with the congressman, so I had to go pick him up for the event, which is another hour, do the event, which was 2 hours, and then drive back another 3 hours last night. So I was a little tuckered out. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to stop. There's no Buc-ee's between Memphis and Nashville, so you have to kind of wing it with the local establishments. I stopped at one that was so bad. As soon as I opened the door, I thought there was going to be a gunfight, so I just turned right back out around and went back and then went to the next one. And it was funny because, I mean, it was insane. It was worse than Walmart after midnight. But I will say this, very polite drug addicts there. And one of them actually held open the door for me, and then her pants fell down.
Did you get your coffee?
I was afraid to. I went in and bought some wet wipes. I thought, you know, maybe.
Well, that'll keep you up long enough.
Yeah, you know, that did it for me. So I thought, okay, I think I can make it. So then Dieter says, hey, look, call me if you get tired and I'll talk you through the home stretch there. And so I called and got voicemail.
Oh.
I called everybody on our staff last night and got voicemail. Lord. No one cared.
Except, I didn't know you were in crisis mode.
Except for that drug addict in Buck Snort, Tennessee. She cared. Maybe a little too much, but she cared. Man, pull your pants up, please. Nobody wants to see that. All right, got to take a break here, folks. Whatever you do, don't stop and Buck Snort. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Texas, that's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us on this National Radio Day. So happy National Radio Day to us. And we're giving you a chance this hour to give your local radio station a shout-out. And we do expect WDUN and KWAM listeners especially, and KYKN, the list goes on and on and on. But you need to be calling in and giving your local radio station a shout-out today, 901-260-5926. Now, yesterday I was speaking in Nashville at an Americans for Prosperity event and made a pit stop in Buck Snort, Tennessee. And we just had a caller, Rich, from Jackson, calling in and telling us about the fun history of Buck Snort, which is actually a real place right off of Interstate 40, named after a guy named William Buck Pamplin. And apparently the guy loved whiskey, and whenever he got drunk, he would snort. So that's how they came up with Buck Snort, Tennessee. And which led to an interesting, and I'm going to ask our good friend Congressman Tim Burchett about this, but apparently there are many odd names in towns in Tennessee, and I have to imagine odd names in towns across the country. I had no idea that we were living near Sweet Lips, Tennessee, Dylan. Who knew that? Also, Bitter End, Tennessee, which is shockingly not in Memphis. And one of my favorites, Hanging Dog, Tennessee, in East Tennessee. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend, Congressman Tim Burchett. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
It is good to be here, brother. And I live close to Louisville, Tennessee, which is spelled the same way as Louisville.
That could get me, you know, that gets us guys in the radio business in trouble. When we do that, for example, you say Nevada and it's really Nevada or Lima or when it's Lima, I'm very confused.
Yeah. I was just on with Dana, what was Dana's last name? Dana Bash on CNN, and she reminded that her name was not Dana, but Dana, and then she called me Tim Burchett.
So, of course she did. That's the French pronunciation of the.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Congressman, look, we got together. We were talking about you the other day. We had Glenn Jacobs on the show, and I know he's a big pal of yours. And yeah. We both got to see the video, the infamous video of the horse kicking you. How are you doing?
I'm not sure how you got it. Yeah, it's I'm okay. Got a broke rib. What do you do? Somebody said, what's it feel like? I said, it's a whole lot like getting kicked by a horse. I don't know what else to explain it. It's broke, but it's what it is. I missed one meeting and all of it. And then the first week, I had some of my staff folks would drive me around to meetings, but now I'm pretty much getting around myself. So,
well, we're glad you're back on the mend and glad you're okay. We need you in Washington, Congressman. And I know we've got a lot of stories to talk about. First and foremost, though, you've already thrown in with Senator Marsha Blackburn as a governor. That endorsement making big news around the country.
Yeah, well, Marsha and I worked together when we were in the state Senate. She's got a lot more guts than most men I know. Right after Al Gore invented the internet, she was the first person to get out on it and tell people that the state of Tennessee, the big boys, were trying to backdoor an income tax, and she blew the lid on it and stood up to them, and that's the reason we do not have an income tax right now. That in itself is good, but I think also the fact that she realizes that she will not manage the state. I think she will maintain the state. She understands we've got a very conservative state and we've got conservative leaders in our legislature. And I think the thing that you got a really good leader in this situation is not somebody that's going to propose a bunch of wild stuff, but just keep what we got. That's the key, to keep what we've got, because that's what everybody wants. That's why everybody's moving here. And the efforts to change all that, I think, can cause us some problems. And I think Senator Blackburn or Marsha understands that. And I think she'll be excellent in that role.
And again,
and also the fact that she has a lot of guts. I love that.
And isn't that the concern, though? A lot of these people moving to places like Tennessee, Texas, North Carolina, they're bringing their politics. And we've even seen this happen in Georgia, where, unfortunately, they've got two Democrat senators. So That has to be a big concern for the Republicans in Tennessee to maintain what we've got.
It does, and the fact that she'll stand up for what we believe, I think she'll do an excellent job. I couldn't be happier for her in that decision, and I hope she's very successful.
Congressman Tim Burchett from Tennessee on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line this afternoon. Congressman, the governor of Tennessee, Bill Lee, sending National Guard troops to Washington, that's got some folks in the western part of the state and the Memphis area a little upset. They're wondering, why aren't we sending National Guard troops to the most violent city in America?
Yeah, we got a real problem that our Democrat-controlled cities and towns tend to be in that direction. But the truth is that Washington, D.C. is created by an act of Congress, and it is a slum. It is a dirt hole, and it is awful. It is a sewer. The needles on the roads, people using the bathroom outside, homeless camps everywhere, muggings, murders, everything. I had a staff member in Washington, a buddy of mine's in his office. A little boy got shot and killed. Those two Jewish people were assassinated. I think it's a real problem. And I think that that President Trump understands that, and it should be that bright, shining city on a hill, and it is not. And he's cleaning it up, and I'm glad we sent some of our people up there to help.
You know, I do think it's fascinating to watch Stephen Miller. I know the vice president, they're over at Union Station today, and they're pointing out something that is really obvious, which is the people complaining about all of this, the people complaining about the National Guard, those are old white folks. Most of the black residents of D.C. are very thankful, at least the ones that are posting videos on social media.
Absolutely. Some of the best people in the world are held hostage by some of the worst people in the world in our inner cities. And that's exactly what you're seeing. It reminds me of when we had in our oversight committee, they had six white guys explaining it to us that there was, you know, crime was there. It was manageable. Everything was fine in D.C. And then when that was going on, there was a carjacking right outside. A kid in a Jeep got carjacked broad daylight. And I made the statement. I said, why are all these white guys up here when the you know, the black folks are clearly the ones in the audience, the community activists, and they were nodding their head in agreement when we had a very influential Democrat black man in Congress come up to me afterwards and thank me for what I'd said. And I said, well, it needed to be said. I think it's a game. It's a game of control. It's a game of power. It's not about doing what's right. Trump has every right to do that under the Constitution, and I'm glad he did it.
You know, Congressman, when you look at crime across the nation, you've got ICE out there. They are just running and gunning. Our borders are Tom Holman. When you look at what the president has been able to accomplish so far in his administration, very young in the administration, what's your take on that?
I think it's Trump. Like I tell people, I don't want him teaching my daughter's dadgum Sunday school class, but I like him at Pennsylvania Avenue. He handles it. He handles it well. And he knows what needs to get done, whether it's war, whether it's energy, whether it's the economy. And it's just the people that are against him, it's like this war situation. Can you imagine a bunch of Democrats want war just because they hate Trump? That's the only reason. They don't want, you know, Zelensky or Putin, I don't think, really wants peace. Because once there's peace, they're out of power. They're out of the spotlight. And, you know, they don't want our energy independence. They don't want our border situation fixed. They don't want the economy better. It's the same old game. It's just a bunch of left-wingers that hate this country, and they destroy us. They would absolutely destroy us, Todd, to stay in power.
No doubt about it, Congressman. Before we let you go, I've got to ask you, you've kind of become a celebrity on, you know, the TikTok and Instagram with these interactions with these liberal trolls that have you videoed.
Yeah.
I want to play this one. This is one of my favorites.
Do you trust Trump's national security team to keep our war plans top secret?
Do you trust your mother every night to fix your Hot Pockets and make sure your Game Boy is turned on?
Congressman, what? Do you know this guy by any chance? Do we know who he is?
He's called a tracker. He's paid by the Democrat Party to attack me. And it's interesting that video went viral pretty much. And then J.D. Vance, my buddy, gets on there and says, Tim Burchett is a national treasure. And then it really went crazy. So, yeah, he's just paid. He needs to know his audience. I mean, no, he's I think he got canned shortly after that last one, but because nobody's seen him in the last, he's kind of like finding Bigfoot. You can't find him out there on the streets anymore. So yeah, he's hired by the Democrat Party. They call him trackers. He was assigned to me every day. He'd come out and try to trip me up, and you know, obviously it didn't work. But I think it's indicative of conservatives, though, Todd, to be honest with you, is to take the fight to them. We got to quit. We've given them the public square. We've given them our colleges and our universities. And unfortunately, I think we've given them the pulpit. We don't have the guts to stand up for what's right. And we got to start doing that as conservatives. And maybe that's not the best way to do it. But when they get in my face, I'm going to let them have it.
And we'll be eating a Hot Pocket in your honor, Congressman. You are a national treasure. Congressman Tim Burchett, always good having you on the show.
Thank you, Todd. You're the best, brother. Always good hearing from you.
All right. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Great American patriot. And it's so funny. Those interactions. And he just broke them. It's the poor kid. You know, you kind of felt bad for the poor kid. Hot pocket. All right. We've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. It is National Radio Day. So we're going to be taking your calls. Give your local radio station a shout out and let them know how much you appreciate the great work they're doing. We'll be right back, everybody. Now, for the record, ladies and gentlemen, I want to point something out here. The governor of Tennessee, there's a big debate raging now on CNN, and they're making a political point out of all of this, saying, why isn't the Tennessee governor sending the National Guard to Memphis? And the argument is, and you heard Congressman Burchett there, and he didn't really want to go down this pathway. But the congressman said that the reason why is because the D.C. is under federal control. But the reality is that the Tennessee governor can send the National Guard to Memphis. And the reason why, we don't know, because the governor won't say. But it's a fair question. The governor can activate the National Guard to respond to natural disasters, state emergencies across the entire state. So why not send in the National Guard? And one of the concerns is that the mega majority of Republicans who control our state just really do not care at the end of the day what's happening in Memphis because it's controlled by Democrats. By the way, this is how crazy it is. The owner of FedEx, Fred Smith, his family, they sent a letter to the city saying your lack of attention to crime is making it nearly impossible for us to do our jobs as FedEx. And they talk about how people that come to work at FedEx are living, you know, 50, 70, 100 miles away from Memphis because they don't want to expose their families to what's happening here. Then just yesterday, the local newspaper was reporting about the Memphis Grizzlies, which is our only professional sports team, the Memphis Grizzlies, NBA team. And they are beloved by this community. And the Memphis Grizzlies have not signed a lease agreement with the city of Memphis. And that's leading a lot of people here wondering, okay, are we about to lose our NBA franchise? Now, they wanted a complete overhaul of FedEx Forum, $500 million. They agreed to that. They agreed to everything that the Memphis Grizzlies wanted. But it turns out the Grizzlies say that the crime issue could very well make this whole franchise untenable. I mean, how bad is it that even the NBA doesn't want to stay in your town? But the reality is you've got a lot of people in power, and they don't want to give up that power. And if it means that we are a war-torn city, then so be it. That's what they're going to do. But it is a big question, Mark. Why isn't the governor doing anything about crime in Memphis? And I don't think he cares. I don't think he wants to. And this is a big up yours to the good people of Memphis. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, Brady called in from Gainesville, Georgia, said he's been listening to WDUN for 75 years and loves that radio station. And they are some of the sweetest, kindest people out there. I got to tell you that. Let's go to Bill in Cordova, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Bill. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd, I was just listening to you guys. Oh, and thank you for having me on again. It's always fun to be here. I was listening to you talk about the National Guard and the governor being able to call them or send them. I might be wrong, but I believe that the city of Memphis or Shelby County has to request that they be sent. I don't think the governor can just send them. I've heard that before. I don't know if it's accurate, but it's what I'm thinking.
Do you think that ought to happen? Do you think that we need the National Guard here in Memphis?
I do. I think that we need them in every major city that's run by Democrats to clean up this mess. and if you have a minute, we can talk about what we need to do to win the next elections as Republicans.
Well, let me just say this, Bill, that, you know, as far as my understanding, the governor has the power to send the National Guard to Memphis. They don't need, I mean, unless there's some sort of a rule that I'm not seeing here, but the governor has authority to control the National Guard within the state.
Yeah, I've heard that too, but I just was thinking that they had a request. And like I said, I could be wrong about that. Somebody that knows more can call in and check me on that. Fact check. Facebook fact checkers can call.
Well, I do know that State Senator Brent Taylor wrote a letter back in 2023 asking about considerations to bring the National Guard in, and I don't believe there was any indication in the letter that Memphis had to ask for it or officially requested, Bill. Real quick, though, I've got about 60 seconds, so what's the solution to electing Republicans?
I think that we need to be really aggressive in our campaigning with billboards, buses, and really just hammer home what the Democrats have done to this city. Just as an example, in New York City, they could put a Mandani poster up and say, if you want to lose your rights, vote for this man. He's a communist.
Well, it's pretty much that simple. But it really is all about messaging when you think about it, Bill. That music there, a computer is going to cut us off here, Bill. Good hearing from you, my friend. Dylan, I'm having some problems. My cardiologist says I need to take a vacation. And I haven't taken a vacation in, I don't know, 30 years. You know, I do these little long weekend things. Most of my trips, though, are usually I'm giving a speech somewhere. And here's the thing, Dylan. Whenever I'm out on the road, I like to get back home. So when I do take time off, I'm just at home. You know, I just, you're around a lot of people. And I love meeting people and everything. It's just hard. So for me, a perfect vacation is staying home.
Staycation.
Exactly. There's a word for it. That's right. Staycation.
Yes.
So I've jotted down. I just sent Dalton Glasscock. He's the CEO of. He runs the shop, right? And I said, have you been to Branson lately? And because I've been here, it's been years, and I went to Table Rock, which I remember as just being incredibly nice. Anyway, I asked Dalton, I said, have you been to Branson trying to find a vacation destination? He says, it's your people Vegas. What does that mean? Is that like redneck Vegas? Is that what he's talking about? Not like Bucksnort Vegas. So anyway, I'm looking at Branson and I'm wondering, Dollywood, I love Pigeon Forge, but it's just too much. It's just wall-to-wall people and you're stuck on the road. You know what I mean? I love Paula Deen's Country Kitchen. By the way, she closed her restaurants in Savannah. I don't know if we talked about that. That's kind of a shock. But anyway, she's got Paula Deen's Country Kitchen, which is great. But anyway, I'm needing some ideas, folks. I've narrowed it down to the Breakers Hotel at Palm Beach, which is very nice. It's really nice. It's relaxing. It's right down from Mar-a-Lago. And, so there's that. Or Branson. I'm kind of eclectic. Or New Orleans. And I don't know if I want to go to New Orleans right now because it's like, 300 degrees with humidity down there. And Bourbon Street gets a certain ripe odor about this time of year, as does parts of New York City. If you have any recommendations for a vacation destination, I've also heard that the Mackinac Islands in Michigan are apparently really a nice vacation locale. So let me know. I'm trying to figure that. You know what it is? The cardiologist says you got too much stress, so you got to, take it easy, take a vacation. But now I'm stressing out over where to go to vacation.
You need to go to a secluded mountain cabin.
I don't know. I'd be worried about, the bears.
Yeah, you bring the bear spray, learn the bear rules. But, you hear the river stream when you wake up and then you see the mountains. So.
I've told the story about Ridgecrest, which is our Baptist retreat center.
Mm-hmm.
They tell you don't bend over if you encounter a bear there.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know. They're perverted bears. I don't know.
Get a handle on that.
For God's sakes, it's a Baptist camp, bears. Get it together. Oh, this isn't Key West. So anyway, I'm also thinking about one of the Viking River cruises. Those things look a lot of fun. And I will say this, I will never, ever do a cruise ship. I've seen far too many Carnival Cruise Line videos, Dylan. And I'm not a big fan of rap music or riots.
Yeah, and you know, they just came out with like the Poop Cruise like documentary. Have you seen that?
I saw that. Did you see the Poop Cruise? That's brutal.
That's something I'm terrified of.
So, pooping on a cruise?
Well, I'm pooping not being able to being released from the cruise.
Well, yes, it's a big issue. But I'm telling you, it's like Spirit Airlines. Nope, I'm good there. Mm-hmm. You've got Walmart. You've got Carnival Cruise, Chuck E. Cheese, and just about any mid-level sit-down restaurant in America, from Olive Garden on down to Carrabba's. I mean, they're throwing down at all of them. So anyway, I was looking at the Viking River Cruise, and that's one of the things I've always wanted. I've always wanted to do a long-form riverboat cruise in an actual steamboat. And I was going to buy a seersucker suit for it, the whole nine yards. But it's hard to find those. But the Viking ships are now docking, so they do the whole Mississippi River cruise. And it's really nice. And as far as I know, they don't play any rap music. So there you go. If you got any suggestions, give me a call. I'm open to them, and I've narrowed it down to those four. So the Viking Riverboat Cruise, the trip to New Orleans, the trip to Branson or Breakers in Palm Beach. Very eclectic bunch of vacation destinations. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Want to play some audio here from, oh, believe it or not, Jasmine Crockett, ladies and gentlemen. She's back in the news. Chuckin' and jiving. All right, Jasmine Crockett, back in the news. She really doesn't like white people, and I hate this. I don't understand this. What's wrong with white people? Cut number five.
Get as many of you as possible to flood our state. Like, when it's election time, I want them to be so mad that they did all of this, because we have people coming from the entire country to Texas to make sure that this little scheme that they tried to pull, where they were just going to steal and diminish the voices of black and brown people. I want us to be so loud that they actually go running and trying to figure out what's that little racist town they all hiding in. And some, what is it, Missouri, Arkansas. I think they all ran to Arkansas. That's where they need to run off to. That's how I want them to feel after this election. So no matter what happens, I need y'all to stay in this fight. Because literally the war is just starting.
Jeez, hello. This woman grinds my grits, ladies and gentlemen. Jasmine Crockett calling for white people to leave Texas and says they need to move to Arkansas. Why? What's wrong with white people? That's what I want to know. What's wrong with white people? We're a pretty docile bunch of folks, right? I mean, we mow our grass and we go to work and we pay our taxes and, you know, we try to keep the kids in line. We go to church. We don't litter. And as far as I know, I mean, there may be a brawl or two at the Chuck E. Cheese that I don't know about, but as far as I know, white folks know how to behave in public, more or less. Well, not all of them, but you know what I'm saying. What have we done to generate such ill will? That's what I want to know. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Steve in Georgia. And Steve, I understand you have a vacation recommendation.
Yes, sir. And thank you, first of all, for all the things you've done standing up to the enemies of our country and the enemies of our creator. you know, you've done that. Maybe not as quite to the extent as our founders, but you're on that path, sir, and I appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Steve. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So Glacier Bay, Alaska. My brother used to drive or pilot the tour boat. So if you don't want to get on a big cruise boat, this held about, it was about a 40 to 60 foot day trip tour boat. And you'd go up into the glaciers out of the little town of Gustavus, where I think it was the Glacier Bay Lodge that was there. Of course, my brother being the pilot, we actually got to stay on the boat for free, which was cool. But we saw the bald eagles. We saw the whales. And we saw the dolphins. It was just amazing. And if you go this time of year, it doesn't really get dark. It gets dim about 4 a.m.
Wow.
You can use a lot of photos or take a lot of photos on a single sunset. So just check out the local stuff that where you might stay there, a local lodge or whatever. And you have to fly in. And the airport is like when I was there.
Where do you fly in at?
Wow. You fly into, I think you fly in, I don't know if you fly in from Anchorage or Fairbanks or whatever, but I think you go to Anchorage and then you take a little puddle jumper kind of flight, maybe 15, 20 people, and you land on a landing strip. There's like a, it looks like, I don't know what it looks like. It looks like a kiosk. Where you stand outside and do your business with the check-in and check-out. And so it's really kind of cool. It's not that busy. And you walk around and with your bear spray and you pick your berries and you rent a kayak and make sure you're not going out with the tide because that'll be a heck of a paddle trying to come back in.
I'm sorry, you lost me a bear spray. What? You got to carry – I guess you –
The tides are mighty big there.
I hear the bears are too. Steve, thank you. This is a great recommendation. Glacier Bay, Alaska. I have it on the list. Thank you for that. By the way, you know, the last time I was in Alaska, I was speaking at the Governor's Prayer Breakfast, and they flew me in, and we stayed at the Captain Cook Hotel. Anybody remember the hotel? It's downtown. It's a beautiful historic hotel, and just had a lot of fun there. All right, so taking requests here, or recommendations, rather, for my vacation, Joe from LJ said Sea Isle. Why did I know that Joe was going to call in and say that? That is a beautiful area. You know, there's a place over in St. Simons, Georgia. I know one of our Georgia listeners will remember this. There's a resort. It's really sort of a retreat center, and we used to go there all the time when I was in school, and it's in St. Simons, something or other by the sea. Anyway, somebody will remember that. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stern's radio show. So glad to have you guys with us today. And, man, I have to tell you, the vice president having a great time out there. He and Stephen Miller are actually heckling the protesters, and people are booing him, and J.D. Vance just obliterating all of those folks. Hey, I have a question for you about the EBT situation. So there's a lady who's making some waves on social media. She says she's getting an $85 manicure and was using an EBT card. I want to play this, and then I've got some things to say about it. Cut 9, please.
This lady at Walmart got mad at me for using my EBT and having my nails done. So this lady was standing behind me, and I was getting ready to pay, and of course I take out my EBT card, because what else am I going to pay with? And then she's like, ma'am, I love your nails. How much did they cost? I'm like, oh, these were like $85. And then once she sees me taking out my card, she starts... She's like, you paid $85 for your nails, but you need EBT to pay for your groceries? I'm like, yes. I'm sorry. I didn't know that you can't have your nails done and be on EBT. I didn't know that was such a crime. I told her to mind her business because it's nobody's business but my own, what I do with my money. At this point, y'all just mad because you don't qualify for EBT and other people do. Stay mad, though.
So a couple of observations here. First of all, you're using language like that. You got a baby with you. You can hear the little baby in the background. I want some ho-hos. I mean, it's a little baby. Come on, watch your language there, lady. So a couple of things here. First of all, I have no idea if this is real or not, but it very well may be. But hear me, and I think I'm understanding what's going on here. First of all, you are not allowed under federal law to use your EBT card to pay for manicures or pedicures or any of that kind of stuff, right? It has to be used for food. So if, in fact, she was using the EBT card to pay for this, it would be illegal. Somebody broke the law. But I don't think that's what happened here. If you listen closely, the lady was pulling out, she was pulling out things from her purse, and the Walmart person where she was getting her manicure, $85 at Walmart to get your nails did? Is that true? Dylan, I'm asking you that question. I don't, unless you get your nails did.
No. I think she got them somewhere else done.
Oh,
and,
well.
And the cashier was just noticing.
Well, the cashier in this instance was right to question this. So wait a second. You're paying, you got money for a manicure, but you've got an EBT card? What's going on here? And the lady said, it's none of your business what I do with my money. And the lady is absolutely right. It is nobody's business what you do with your money. But what is our business is what you do with our money. And that EBT card is our money. It is paid for by the American taxpayers. And if you're going out there and you're squandering your money, that is on you, ladies and gentlemen. That's just unacceptable. Sorry, I was slightly distracted. I'm getting a flurry of messages from the White House and want to share with you what's going on. Because we're very excited about tomorrow's program. We are expecting the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, to be on this radio show. So the President has always been a fan of coming on the program, and we love it when he comes on the show. But we're expecting the President to sit down tomorrow on our national show for a long-form interview. That's going to be a lot of fun. Dylan, I know you've already been practicing for the voice. Well, we're going to let Parker, who's our summer intern, this is his turn now to answer the phone.
It's true. And we have someone that hasn't done it yet. It's like, initiation into working here is you have to answer the phone for Trump.
What was that like for you the first time? You know, you're sitting there, the phone's ringing. And so take me through that process.
Well, you know, I'm anticipating this, so I'm already nervous. My hands are shaking. And he calls in. And, you know, when someone, you know, Congress people, senators, the president, when they call in, you think it's going to be their person, you know, their booker or someone else. But it was him. He answered the phone. He said, hi, this is Trump. Is Todd there?
I said, hello, this is Donald.
There it is.
I can't do the accent. I wish I could. I can't.
So immediately, you know, panicked because I didn't think it was actually going to be him that I was talking to. But I was like, yes, Mr. President, Todd's here. Let me go ahead and put you on hold.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they didn't say hold for the president, or it's just, hello, this is Donald.
I think he called from his phone.
Wow.
He's just that kind of guy.
He really is a great guy.
Very personable with me. So it was one of those moments you will never forget and might put it on the resume. I don't know. Yeah.
You've got to.
I guess I have to. You and then Parker's going to get to tomorrow. Yes. So.
Interacted with the president of the United States.
Indeed.
So Parker's very excited. He's a little nervous.
Yeah, as you should be.
Yeah. Well, he should. But, you know, I should ask the president about golf. You know, he's a big golfer, the president mm-hmm. is, and very good golfer as well. He needs to come out to Southwind. You know, he should have come down for the PGA, for the St. Jude Championship.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a lot of fun. So tomorrow on the show, President Trump, and then Monday, we've actually just, this is the other email I got from the White House. Dylan, we've been invited to the White House to do the show on Monday.
Wow. So, big things.
A lot going on. A lot going on. And so anyway, we'll tell you more about that coming up very soon. But that's going to be a lot of fun. All right. Wow. What a crazy busy day. We're going to do it all over again tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. And again, President Trump on the show. Tell your friends and neighbors and tell them to tune in and listen. It's going to be a great conversation. And be sure to join us tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, on The Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. And then I'm filling in for Ed Henry. And then tomorrow night, I'll be hosting Primetime on Newsmax. Woo, sweet mercy. I need a ho-ho. All right, get out there. Have a great one, everybody. This is the Todd Stern Show.